I think we all know the answer to that, don't we? And we thank the Lord for that great song this morning. And everybody said, amen. All right, we appreciate that great song. Goes right with my message for some reason as well. The Lord always works those things out, doesn't he? So that's tremendous. All right, if you open your Bibles with us this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 12. Joshua would like to be here today, wouldn't he? Using his namesake. He normally makes a comment about that, so I thought I would. But Brother Roger didn't make any announcement today, didn't give me any grandiose introduction, did he? You have to do that again sometimes. A lot of folks said they missed that and they'd like to have heard that. So it's a shame we didn't get that on tape. Whose fault?
John.
Yeah, John. I know. John don't want you to introduce me anymore. Nobody. A lot of folks don't want you to introduce me anymore. But anyway, that was a great, great introduction. I couldn't hardly believe it. It took me by absolute surprise, no question about that. Not many things do that, but that certainly did. All right, Joshua chapter 14, 6 through 12. We see that they're dividing up the land at this point in the scripture. You remember they had at Kadesh Barnea, they sent out the spies, you remember, over into the land of Canaan to see what was there. Shouldn't have sent spies. God had already told them. God had already told them what was there. But anyway, they had to send out spies, so they sent out 12 spies. Remember, one of each tribe of Israel. And the spies came back. 10 of them had an evil report. In fact, it talks about it in this scripture, chapter 14. Verse number 8 says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the part of the people melt." Why? Because they were going, those 10 folks, they went up there and the land was just like God said it was. But they, of course, were going by sight and not by faith. And so they came back with an evil report. So we can't go over there. Said, we're like grasshoppers to those folks. There's the sons of Anak over there. They're giants in the land. It's no way possible, the 10 said, that we can go in and take the land. But 2 men dared to stand up and know that God could do anything and everything, nothing impossible with God. And so those 2 men, of course, Joshua and Caleb, and these 2 folks we see in this lesson that we'll speak about this morning. And they said we could go over it. They can go over and take the land because they knew that God would be with them. God would empower them. God would give them strength to be able to defeat the folks in the land and take the land just like God had promised. Because God, you see, God had promised it to them. God had given it to them. All they had to do was possess it. But they didn't go over because there were 10 who said, "We can't do it." In fact, they even wanted to stone Joshua and... hope it never happens to this Joshua, but they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb because they believed that they could go over in the land and conquer the enemy. So now we see in Joshua chapter 14, we see that Caleb is now going to claim the promise that God made to him. And this is what it's all about, was dividing up the land. And so, as in verse number 5 of that scripture says, "As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea.'" So you remember Moses? Gave me a promise. God gave me a promise through Moses. And Joshua knew about that. So he says in verse 7, he says, 40 years old was I. Boy, he was right in the prime of life, 40 years, wasn't he? When Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And then he says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Wow, now he's 85 years old, isn't he? as he's going over to into that land. He says that God has kept me alive these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am strong, as strong this day. Just imagine this. This is what God can do in it. I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go in, go out, and to come in. Now, therefore, verse 12, this is our text. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out of the out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Hebron for an inheritance. So we see that Caleb is claiming the promise that God has God had given him. Now, folks, we can take for granted that what we ask for, now think about this a little bit, for what we ask for will determine our spirituality and the blessings that we have. What you ask for. We see that Caleb asked for the mountain. And the Word of God says in the book of Matthew in chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given unto you. What have you asked God for lately, you see? Then we see in the book of James in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, ye have not, because ye ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. See, many of the things we ask for sometimes are physical things. And God wants us to ask for spiritual things, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see that Caleb and Joshua, they just believed God, and they wanted to go into Canaan and claim what God had given them. The unbelieving nation would not go in and stayed in the wilderness for 40 long years. Wow, and they wandered there for those many years. But Caleb did not die in the wilderness. Now, all those folks that would not go in and said that they could not go in, every one of them died in the wilderness, but not Caleb. We see that Caleb did not die in the wilderness, but he still had to suffer. Even though he had made the right choice and made the right decisions, we see that he also had to suffer with all those who were in the wilderness. Think of what he had to endure. Just imagine for a moment. Every single day, he saw people die and miss the inheritance. And of course, not only that, but he had to listen. He listened to all this time to their murmuring and their complaining. And he loved Moses. Yet he had to listen to these people as they criticized Moses and opposed him. And even though he lived in the wilderness, folks, his heart wasn't there. His heart wasn't in the wilderness. His heart was in the land of Canaan. And that's the way it ought to be with you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in the wilderness of this world system that we're living in. And the circumstances are bleak. But you and I shouldn't be living, you see. Our heart should not be in this land. Our heart should be in with the Lord in heaven. In fact, he tells us that in the book of Colossians, in chapter 3 of the book of Colossians, verses 1 through 4, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, and if you've been saved, you are risen with Christ. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where God sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Isn't that wonderful to think about it? Our life as a believer, the security that we have because our life, you see, is hid with Christ in God. My, what a secure spot we are in. When Christ, who is our life, when he's our life, he shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. And so the Word of God says, if we're risen with Christ, then we ought to have our minds set on the eternal spiritual things, which will, of course, help us to grow as God wants us to grow and to live like God wants us to live. God doesn't want us to suffer in this wilderness that we're living in. He doesn't want us to suffer like the world suffers. He wants us to have our eyes trained upon Him. That's a wonderful thing, to trust in God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace who trusteth in thee, because he trusts in God. And then he tells us not only that, but to trust in God how long? Forever. Trust in God forever, he says. Because he says the Lord Jehovah, the Almighty God, the Sovereign God of the universe, will do what? He, of course, he will strengthen you, and he it will be not just for now, but forever. He will strengthen you forever, the Word of God says. So we need to believe God and trust in God, and have our minds upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll keep us in perfect peace. Now, what happens? We see that unbelief, and unbelief is a scourge to mankind, without question. We see that unbelief will cause us to miss out on the good things of God. Unbelief will keep you from being saved. That's the only thing that's keeping you. If you're unsaved today, the only thing that's keeping you from being saved is unbelief. All you have to do is believe God, take Him at His word, trust Him, and confess Him. For we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, He tells us, doesn't He, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Unbelief. But you know what unbelief also does in the life of the believer? Unbelief looks at giants. Everywhere you look, you see giants. Everywhere you look, you see the circumstances that we're living in this world. And folks, if that's all you see, you're going to be continually discouraged. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to be. He wants you to be discouraged. That's the thing that keeps most believers from being used of God. The choir sung this morning. Susan done a great job on Jesus, use me. You see, it's because of the circumstances of this world and this life that God cannot use even people who are believers, because they do not see the power of God. They do not see what God can do in their lives. They do not see that God can do the impossible. And because of that, unbelief, you see, looks at giants. But you know what? Faith looks to God. In fact, that's the one thing. That's the one thing the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that's the one thing that pleases God. Faith to believe that He is, and that, of course, that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so faith is the answer. If you haven't been saved, faith is the answer. You can be saved by faith. That's how you are saved. The only way you can be saved is by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. And so you can't work for it. You've got to trust God for it. See, that's what God wanted these people to do. He wanted them to He wanted those folks to trust Him and go right over into the land of Canaan and enjoy life. But they didn't do that. They lived 40 years in the wilderness because they didn't believe God, because they didn't trust God, because their faith was not in God. And so if you're unsaved today, you need to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll save you by His grace. He'll change your heart and life. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, and He'll give you power to live the Christian life as a believer. You notice in verses 8 and 9 what he says three times. Actually, we see in this passage that he says, I wholly followed God. Boy, we need some folks today, don't we? We need some believers today who are not just, you know, playing this thing, not just acting, not just, you know, kind of stumbling through life. We need believers today who are wholly committed to God, wholly following the Lord. That, and if you're wholly following the Lord, you see the Holy Spirit has control of your life. The Holy Spirit's in control, and you're submissive to the Holy Spirit of God, and He will lead you and He'll guide you, and you'll make the kind of decisions that will be of great value to you, and of course will help you to follow the Lord. So we see Caleb, he by faith, of course, looked unto the Lord. Not only that, but we see that he claimed a promise, and we talked a little bit about that earlier. He's got this promise way back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. We see the promise, but we see it more than one place. But we find that God had made him a promise. Moses delivered the promise to Joshua and Caleb. And Caleb is reminding Joshua what God had promised him. And so he claimed this promise. Look in verses 6 through 9. It talks about the claiming the promise that he made in Kadesh Barnea, he says in verse number 6. He said he was 40 years old when that happened. And of course, he continues to follow the Lord. And then in verse 9, he says, "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast followed the Lord my God." He reminds Joshua of God's promise. You see, for it is only on the basis of God's word that we can claim the promise and claim the blessing. And that's what we have to do. Believers have to claim the blessing that God has for us. How many promises are in the Word of God? Remember, Peter said about the promises of God. He says they are the faithful promises of God. But not only that, but they are the precious promises of God. And the Bible is full of them. That's one of the reasons you need to know what the Word of God teaches, is because you can see the promises of God has made to you. And when you get into a little difficulty, folks, let me assure you that the promises of God will bolster you and will help you and strengthen you as a believer. And so we need to know the promise. If you don't know the promise, you can't claim it. And so many believers, see, they walk in the barrenness of this world system because they don't know the promises of God and because they don't claim the promises of God. But they would claim the promises of God. Wow, what a blessing that would be to them. You see, God promised him the inheritance. And Caleb believed that what God promised, he was able to perform. Isn't it wonderful to know that? That, think about it for a moment. That good work that God has begun in you, that good work is the work of salvation. It can't begin any other way. It has to be through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God works in your heart, and He, through His precious word, and He, because we're born again, you see, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God and convicts you, and of course brings you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when you get saved, that's the good work that he's talking about in Philippians chapter 1, when he talks about that God, after you have been saved by His grace, that He continues. It is God who continues. It is God who performs, continues to perform in your life. And He's going to do that until the day of Christ. My, what a blessing that is to know that we receive Christ. We receive the promise of eternal life. And we can rely upon God, what He has promised, that He is able to perform until the day we are with Him. You see, Caleb was like, he was like the father of our faith, Abraham. He's the father of us all if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a lot like Abraham. You know why? Because he was strong in faith. We need folks who are strong in faith, you see. And so he was strong in faith. Oh, in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, this is speaking about Abraham. But Caleb has this same kind of faith. And you and I ought to have this same kind of faith. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was strong in faith. And because he was strong in faith, he gave glory to God. That's one of the ways that you and I can glorify God, is by being strong in the faith. Know what we believe and trust God and rely upon Him. And then verse 21, he says, and being fully persuaded. Boy, that's what we need in this day and time, this world in which we're living in, when Satan, of course, comes with us all these doubts and fears and things and so forth, we need to be fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That was true, you see, with Caleb. Caleb knew that what God had promised, that God would do, that God would perform, this promise that he had given unto him. And so the question today is, are you claiming the promises of God's word? Get into the word of God. See those promises. Claim those promises. God wants you to do that. And he'll bring a great blessing upon you for doing that. And then not only does we see that Caleb was carrying out a purpose in life, but we see not only that he also was claiming the promises of God, but we also see that he counted on a presence. Wow, that's the greatest thing we have, folks, in this world. That's knowing that we have the presence of God continually, and know that he's always going to be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The Word of God teaches us, so we can know that in our hearts and lives, and we can know that we can live in his presence. That's the one thing, you know, that through what little experiences I've been through, we've found out something. We just know that we need to live every day in the presence of Almighty God. And all we need to do, folks, all we need to do is just say with Caleb this: if so be the Lord will be with me. If the Lord, Caleb says, if the Lord will be with me, in verse number 12, I shall be able to drive them out. I will be able to claim the promise. All I need is the presence of Almighty God. That's all you need in your life as well. When you get into difficulty, just say to the Lord, Lord, all I need is for you just to be with me. And if you'll do that, I think it'll be a blessing to you. You see, he says, if so be the Lord will be with me. Now, this is not an if of doubt, but this is the if of humility. He was humble. He was trusting God. He was believing God. And so he says, if the Lord will be with me. You see, he doesn't claim victory because he's a brave man, but he is a brave man. He doesn't claim victory because he's courageous. He doesn't claim victory because he had wholly followed the Lord. He claims the victory by saying, but if God be with me. Oh, in the book of Romans, in chapter 8 of the book of Romans, and verse number 37 of Romans, chapter number 8, we find these words in verse number 37. He says, nay, in all these things we are more. He didn't say we're just conquerors. He says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. My, we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of our faith. 1 John chapter 5 says that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. We sing the song, don't we? Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. And so faith, you see, is what we need to have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't limit yourself because of your weaknesses. We're all weak. In fact, Paul was a great man of God and well-educated man, and all the things that we think that people ought to be. He was all those things. He was, you know, his background was tremendous, he tells us. But we see that Paul says, when I'm weak, then he is strong. And we, folks, when we're weak, that's when we're actually the strongest. So don't limit yourself because of your weakness. But by faith, see the unlimited possibilities of God. And see and know that God can do anything. God can do everything because he is God. And he is all powerful. To Caleb, to Caleb. That's just exactly what the songwriter said. To Caleb, God was greater than his biggest problem. And you always find that to be true. God is greater than your biggest problem. If it's sin, that's pretty easy because grace is greater than sin. And so we see that we, as Caleb, we need to count on the presence of Almighty God. Now, if you haven't been saved, of course, you can't enjoy the presence of God. You've never known what it's like. And what a terrible thought that is, that not to know what it's like to enjoy the presence of Almighty God. And so if you're unsaved, may we just encourage you today to come and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we'll take the Word of God and show you how to be saved and know that you're saved for time and for eternity. If you hear as a believer, God spoke into your heart this morning. Maybe you haven't claimed a promise. Promises that God has given you, claim the promise. You know, just say to God, I'm going to read your Bible and I'm going to see what the promise is. I'm going to claim those promises so that I can be what you want me to be. And may we be those who wholly follow the Lord. I'm going to stand and sing just a verse or two as Brother Stephen comes and leads us. I'm going to sing a verse or two. If you're here without Christ, may we urge you to come and receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here as a believer, God spoke in your heart, you need to come. I'm going to sing two verses of an invitational hymn. And as we sing, as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, and as He is drawing you, you come this morning. Don't put it off, because there's danger and death in delay.